going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
The crowd in a frenzy at Wrigley. The Cubs have a chance to win it right now. 10-10 tie. And the pitch to Ian Happ, swinging a base hit into right. Brujan around third, heading home. Here comes the throw to the plate. Cubs win. Cubs win the ball game. Ian Happ, a game-winning single. The Cubs are mobbing Ian Happ out near first base. One for the memory books, Ron. Woo. What a great win for the Cubs tonight.
There's your over and in. That's what you're trying to do at the at-bat. You hook that ground ball and hope it gets through and drive him in. Brujan coming around third. I thought he was stumbling a little bit coming around third base. And I'm like, oh, no. But he kept it splitting and came in to home. Head first, dive, safe play, not close at the plate. And the Cubs win another wild one here at the Friendly Confines.
It has been crazy over at Wrigley Field the last four games. It's been weird baseball, but finally Wrigley is playing like we expect Wrigley to play. Instead of last year, you're like, what's going on? Do they need to change where the boards are there and all this other stuff?
Yeah, man, it's been funky to have the wind blowing out the way that it is now has been really, really funky. And it has led to some absolute craziness that has gone on there with these games, like two all-timers in the last week, the Friday game and then the game yesterday. And the spirit that the team is showing and believing in themselves is amazing. I mean, they've scored, what, more than 10 runs seven different times over the course of the year. It's the first time they've done it in the first 25 games since 1895, I believe Cubs historian Ed Hardig offered. And no other team has done it more, I believe, than three times right now in MLB. And the Cubs have done it seven times, which is crazy. They've also given up a lot of five-run innings and had some disasters, which Jed Hoyer mentioned as he was talking to the Midday Show and Marshall Harris and Mark Grody today.
Yeah, let's talk about that part of it, because I thought it was honest and interesting what Jed had to say about the Cubs' issues with defense.
Poor defense, and I think that's really what's hurting us. And, you know, it's cost us. You can't give these good teams outs late in games. We've made a bunch of, like, you know, crucial, you know, late inning, you know, mistakes over there. So we have to tighten it up defensively. And I think about our team and the way we're built, and this run scoring has been great, but ultimately we're not going to be able to score runs at this rate all year. We're built to be a really good, clean defensive team. You know, we've got a bunch of guys that have won gold gloves and don't make mistakes, and, you know, it destabilizes us, you know, and we have to cut out those mistakes.
And I know you've been bothered by it, Lawrence, a bunch of different people. It's not just the third base disasters that have gone on including last night. Justin Turner with, you know, a really damaging play in an extra innings loss.
Nico Horner dropping a ball on Sunday.
It's kind of a low throw from Jordan Wicks, but you got to make that play.
He'll tell you that he had to make that play.
Kyle Tucker has had some awkwardness in right field.
He's been weird in right field. I don't think he's been bad. And it might just be we're watching a guy get used to a different right field. But I just watching him like, ooh, I don't know if he has a read on that. And then the stuff that was going on at Dodger Stadium, and I'm like, oh, he's not seeing the ball, and he is not calling for it either.
He also had a play, I think it was in the Friday game, where he could have charged a ball and made a strong throw home and really given them a chance, but he kind of sat back and let it take two or maybe even three hops before he grabbed it and then made a decent throw, but it had no chance at the plate.
Even Ian Happ has looked a little out of sorts at times this season, and that's a three-time Gold Glove winner.
Yeah, he left his feet for one that he didn't catch, which almost never happens. He's usually a guy, if he leaves his feet, he makes the catch.
Correct.
But, you know, the third base thing has been an absolute disaster. Vidal Brujan, they traded Matt Mervis, who has 7 home runs, by the way, for the Miami Marlins.
Never nervous Matt Mervis.
For Vidal Brujan, and he has looked bad defensively at third base, had some awkward moments in the Friday game when he played there. You heard Coomer talking about Brujan stumbling as he scored the winning run last night.
But
add it to the oh no pile. It's a pretty good oh no. And Gage Workman was a disaster. And today he got designated for assignment. He gone. And Nicky Lopez is here, having signed a major league deal. That's the first mention for your hot Nicky Lopez content here in the 4 o'clock hour. But this morning, when Jed was talking to the midday show, he talked about all the defense that's gone on and the troubling things that have gone on, and he gave this very quick aside about Matt Shaw, who's down in the minors.
Well, I think the ultimate hope is that, you know, Matt Shaw will go down to AAA, kind of find his swing again, and come back up. I mean, that's sort of the hope and the plan.
The hope and the plan.
You don't like that. Well, I know that he went on to say about Shaw, and I kind of thought it was interesting where he was discussing the jump. Like, you're making a jump, and he intimated that one of the things that was keeping Shaw from reaching his potential this first time is he was just trying to survive. And when you're just trying to survive, it changes who you are as a hitter. So maybe he can find that. I think that there are mechanical things that they still have to figure out and fix.
Yeah, he was intimating, like what you're talking about, he's intimating that he was just trying to like stay alive on big league pitching any way that he can instead of authoritatively thinking about just driving
right.
the ball.
Right, like that you've got all of the things that you need to be successful. Just go ahead and do it. And
that
it
was interesting.
It takes players a while to figure that type of stuff out, which is why I'm not freaked out about Matt Shaw going down to the minor leagues. And the results don't matter to me if they can fix what's happening kind of mechanically with him, which I think is still going to put him at a disadvantage if he doesn't make some changes to what he's doing.
Craig Counsell talked about it on Saturday in pregame over the weekend, what they're going to work on, and he wouldn't get specific.
None of them. I was wondering if Jed was going to, and then I was like, nah, because they don't want to tell you how to get their guy out.
I know.
When he makes his way back up here.
But also they don't want to get specific about, like, so is he going to lose the leg kick? You'll get kind of a no comment on that. And Counsell didn't get specific about the leg kick or the pigeon-toedness or the moving head or anything like that. But when I asked Bruce about it on Sunday morning on Hit and Run, he flat out said, Lawrence, he's going to have to get rid of the leg kick. So maybe that's the scuttlebutt around the ballpark.
Yeah, he has to.
I know.
Because, you know.
It's another thing that you've been right about as a baseball guy. You're the best.
I don't get enough credit for that.
Hey, look, you are easily the best baseball talker I've had as a full-time partner. Easily.
Not Pat Manley?
Patrick knows ball. He knows ball. Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Well, come on, man. We could have we got opportunities here to have like real hardcore baseball questions, conversations, and challenge each other and talk it through.
I like to dip. Those are the times when I can actually dip into some of the time spent playing ball, where you're just like, you see a guy, you're like, that bleep don't work.
It's like me talking offensive line.
Of course.
You know? It's very similar.
That's how I view you.
Thank you.
As the offensive line guru.
It's about time.
So when they draft someone.
About time I got the respect.
When they draft someone at offensive line, I am looking forward
to
your breakdown instead of, like Olin's. By the way, congratulations to Olin, who got named to the Gridiron Greats Hall of Fame class.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what
they're running out of Hall of Fames to put him in. They got to put him in the real one.
The big one is eventually just going to have to roll over and say, all right, fine. All these other Hall of Fames have spoken.
I mean, you know.
Is that the same one that Jiggs got into yesterday?
No, that's the Silver Circle. Okay. That's for his on-air work.
So, isn't Olin like the second or third best center of all time?
He's right there, right?
He was what? Maybe the center third. The center of the 2000s?
Century, maybe?
I think he was on the 2000s decade
that
team.
That crystallized it for me. I believe he was the only member of the all-decade team in the 2000s all-decade team that's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's trash. Yeah. Absolute trash.
True. There were a lot of great centers before him. Yeah, but see if you can, Shane, talk to your people. Same person that gave you the Nicky Lopez news, okay?
I don't think he can help Olin get into the Hall, but, I mean, maybe he might know a guy.
I have a guess as to who Shane's source was on that, but I'm not gonna share it.
Nicky Lopez next week, by the way.
On the show? How'd you get him?
I don't know. I think that wherever you got your sourcing, and you don't have to tell anyone
Nobody.
Who your sources
I
think, are.
I would never.
I think it was a guy named Schmicky Bopez. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just
the circus clown.
Was it Bob?
I will.
Yeah, it was his dad.
I think that we need to give Shane some credit.
Softball legend.
He did just fun. It's
fun. He didn't just talk with one person. He did what you're supposed to do, which is get it confirmed by two sources, not one.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I think the way that they've dealt with third base has been...
Wow, just walked right over that.
Yeah, no. Oh. Someone told Jesse Rogers.
Hey, man.
Speaks give you a... Yeah. That's good.
That's good. Very good, Shane. Thank you.
I'm a member of the Cubs beat. I saw an email that says the Cubs are re-signing Nicky Lopez. It's got nothing to do with what happened with Shane tweeting 15 minutes ago that Nicky Lopez signed a deal.
Here's who's playing third base in Iowa. Chase Strumpf. Jonathan
that
Long.
That doesn't sound like a real person.
I know. Dixon Machado.
Also doesn't sound like a real person.
Ben Cowles. These people have played games at third base for Iowa. And Matt Shaw. Dixon Machado has been in the big leagues before. Saw the rest of these guys in Mesa. And there's some, serviceable kids, but they're not really like genuine prospects. James Triantos is down there playing second base.
And how's he doing that and running the board on middays?
That's Robbie Triano, but you're very, very close.
Sorry.
So, and Triantos has been a third base before in his life, but Matt Shaw is the hope in the plan. It made me think about how many times we've said hope is not a plan.
Yeah, that's a bad quote.
To have somebody be the hope and the plan.
Yeah, considering that there were multiple options, but there was one big option that was available to the Cubs, and seemingly you just kind of needed to change a little bit of how your business model works.
Imagine Alex Bregman as your starting third baseman, John Birdie and Matt Shaw as your, utility guys in your infield. And maybe Shaw would have been back in the minors because he wanted him to play every day. But I think it would have been pretty interesting to have Shaw up here in a much softer landing, be your guy up here. You could have still signed Turner, but they probably wouldn't have. So it just would have been Bregman. And then
I feel like you could probably still sign Turner for the role that you really need him in.
I don't know that he would have come here if you did it, though.
Maybe. By the way, Bregman, a one war, his slash line, 302, 376, 521.
Yeah.
His WRC plus this season is 155.
155. 100, folks, is replacement level. 100 is the median. And he's at 156. Yeah, if you allow yourself to think about that, you go crazy. One thing I will say as the counter to that, Cody Bellinger has an OPS of like 518. He's been awful. awful for the Yankees. And there are Yankee fans going crazy about that. So, but anyway, yeah, Bregman would have been a very special thing. But here they are, one of the best offenses in baseball, and 15-10 through 25 games with the most difficult schedule in MLB. The other problem has been the bullpen.
At the end of March, guys, I told you guys that Paul DeJong was still an available free agent who hit almost 30 homers for the White Sox last year. The Nationals picked him up. That could have been your third baseman.
And that's why the Nationals front office is ranked higher than the Cubs.
Yeah, he's serviceable. He's serviceable.
Yeah.
But they were
convinced
that
Shaw...
It would
have been a better choice than Shaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely seems like it would have been for a team in contention. But the bullpen is the other issue that a lot of folks are talking about. I thought Jim DeShays was good earlier with us when he said, I like how aggressive they've been.
Yeah, they're churning some of the moves. They're making moves. Here's what Jed said about that.
Well, I mean, some of the merry-go-round has been performance, and some of the merry-go-round is just a natural churn of baseball in 2025. I mean, it's just, you know, you look at every team, and every team is like churning through the bottom of their bullpen. That's why you really want to have guys with options in your bullpen, because you just have to constantly be going to get fresh arms. It's just that how the game, unfortunately, is how the game is played now. Like, we're making transactions almost every night. But yeah, we have to tighten it up in the bullpen. I think we've had, you know, a number of games and performances where I think we pitched really well, but like we've been just plagued by these 5+ run innings. You know, we've done it like 3 or 4 different times this year, and that's the part that we have to tighten up. And you know, normally they're started with walks. Honestly, we've walked too many guys in the bullpen. You know, Brad Keller has been excellent for us all year. You know, last night wasn't his best, but he's been good. You know, Porter had the bad outing coming in relief of Wicks. I think generally those guys have been good. But there's undeniable. We have to stop having those kind of innings, and we're playing good teams and we're playing offenses that make you pay for every mistake. But yeah, we have to tighten up those big runs. We had a game on Sunday in Arizona. We had the Friday game against Arizona. We had the game last night. Like, we're just giving up too many 5+ run innings, and our blow ups have been bad. And we'll keep working on it. The bullpen's going to be something we work on all summer. I think like most teams, you just got to keep on shuffling guys through, and it's a volatile enough area where, you know, all of a sudden you can hit on a guy here, a guy there, and then next thing you know, it solidifies. So we'll keep working on it. You know, obviously we see the same issues. We're not going to be able to come back from 3 and 4 down over and over, and we just have to do a better job of you know, pitching in those situations and not throwing strikes, not making errors, and not putting extra pressure on those guys.
I feel good about the reasoning there and the thought process, I got to admit.
They also signed Michael Fulmer to a minor league deal.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Fulmer was in, was he in Boston?
I can't remember where he was.
Fulmer was somewhere in the minors. And,
Hold,
and,
please.
Yeah, I mean.
He was in Boston.
Yeah, and Drew Pomerantz, who they traded for, is on the big league roster today.
I want them to go get Tristan McKenzie.
Dr. Sticks. I used to love Dr. Sticks.
I think that is an arm worth taking a risk on.
He hasn't been good since the injuries, and the velocity was a little bit back this year.
Pitch lab.
Oh man. But it's 5 appearances. I think they were all mop up duty in Cleveland. I feel like Cleveland knows pitchers. Who's the last guy that Cleveland gave up on that ended up helping people? I'd have to look into it. I mean, if I'm the White Sox, I'd take a flyer on Dr. Sticks.
There's
in a
no
heartbeat,
doubt.
In a heartbeat.
And they should be first, right, in waivers.
Well, to your point, like, remember, the White Sox took a flyer on Karinchak, and he wasn't even able to make the big league club this spring. You know?
I mean, Cleveland is one of the smartest pitching organizations in the game. But, like...
Andrew Miller the last one for Cleveland that they let walk, and he still had... No. Productivity in like 2018?
Yeah, but Miller is like a great reclamation project for them the first time. Like, Miller was a number one pick, I want to say, in Florida. It was a Marlin and then a Red Sox. And
Detroit first and then Florida.
So he was in the Miguel Cabrera deal, I believe. So you know, so he was a big time prospect who was reborn in Cleveland. So that proves it's actually part of what proves the point of what they've done through the years.
First round pick that had a year where he threw almost 200 innings.
Andrew Miller?
No, Sticks.
Sticks, yeah. And he was the second longest tenured member of the Cleveland organization.
Yeah, he had been there since 2020.
Just Jose Ramirez in the entire org has been there longer.
He's 27.
I feel you. I like that kid, and I like that arm, but there's been a lot of injuries, and he's been real bad.
Yeah, I still think it's worth it, but, you know, whatevs.
Yeah, but real quick. Gavin Hollowell, who pitched last night for the Cubs, the 6'7 right-hander with a weird three-quarter-inch release and threw two innings that they needed desperately, gave up a deep drive to PCA that I thought for sure was a bomb, but it wasn't. But anyway, the kind of heroic stuff from him to come up and do that, and now he's back gone down to AAA. So they're just aggressively going through guys and taking a look at people a lot here in April.
Let's get back on the Bears beat. Let's talk with our buddy Eric Edholm about the draft. He is terrific. You do not want to miss it. It's next on the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
with the draft, I'm going to give the opportunity for Ian to come up and talk about our preparation. I feel really confident where we're at. I think this one's going to be a little wild. It's deeper in certain areas than others. Usually the cutoff is a little bit quicker. I think once you kind of get into 2-3, and this one's going to be a little bit different. So I think there's going to be a lot more movement than there has been in the past.
It could get wild, Brad. It could get wild. Sit back and watch. I mean, we have no feel right now. We'll see.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
We'll see if the NFL draft in the first round wilds out. We'll see if that's exactly what goes on. Eric Edholm covers the NFL for NFL Media. He's a friend of the station and of the two hosts that host this show. He's a good man and thorough. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hey, E, welcome to the show.
He's a good man and thorough. Yes, that's me.
Damn right. You know, we were talking about you the other day. Like, back in the day when I would host and on the weekends on The Score, yep, very early morning, I'd be listening to Hub Arkish's great show, the Pro Football Weekly show, and he'd go to his correspondents, Jeff Agrest and Eric, yep, Edholm.
Yeah. Those are the days, man. You start thinking about how many years ago that was. It gets a little scary, almost half my life now, my goodness. But, yeah, it's been a long road to this point and a long road to the 2025 draft, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. It means that you have been around the NFL observing at a very close level for a long, long time. What's the vibe on this draft to you?
Yeah, it's a weird one. I mean, I think the... You naturally, you start with the quarterbacks. We're going to have one go number one in Cam Ward, but you know he might have been the fourth or fifth quarterback taken a year ago. You have two true blue chip players, I think, in this class, in Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, probably the next two guys off the board. But then you have a slew of players who, in a typical draft cycle, might not be considered top 10 picks. You know, maybe just outside of it. I'm not talking about bad football players here, but I think the difference between, you know, the sixth pick and the 16th pick is minimal, and it could be somewhat similar to what you see toward the end of round one in some cases. So, yeah, I think the middle chunk of this draft is going to be fascinating, and that obviously includes Chicago at 10, San Francisco at 11. That's a kind of a key area right there, and I don't know. We'll see. It's a starter draft. I don't think it's a star draft.
E, we were having a conversation about Shedeur Sanders earlier in, yep, the show, and I feel like the scouting and drafting of him is complicated. And I'm not going to say needlessly complicated. It just kind of is complicated. What have people told you? What do you expect? And what do we need to know about him as a prospect?
Yeah, I think from a football perspective, right, if his last name was Jones and we were looking at this with clear vision and weren't, you know, biased by the name, you'd say, look, this is a guy who doesn't have ideal size. He's fine, you know, but sub 200 pounds, a guy who's taken a lot of sacks, that's certainly going to be something that the medical team wants to look at. He's had a number of small injuries. He's played through most of them. You know, obviously the arm strength isn't anything to write home about. I think he can make most of the throws, but you're not talking about a guy who cuts through 20-mile-an-hour winds with his fastball. It's just not who he is. He's a creative player. He's accurate. He's tough. And I think he's football smart and savvy. So he's got some stuff going for him, but you know, the athleticism that you associate with Deion Sanders isn't really there with him. That's not his game. Can he get you a first down? Sure. But, you know, he's not a true running quarterback. So, you know, there's a little bit of a ambivalence on some of his skill set. But then there's also the Sanders factor. I don't think you can ignore it. And I guess one of the more fascinating nuggets that I've uncovered is that there are teams out there who worry that if they draft him a year or two from now, they're going to be, you know, fending off calls to fire the head coach and hire Deion to be the head coach. So, you know, it comes with a lot of stuff, and whether that's fair or not to him, I mean, I don't know. I've heard the talk about the bad interviews and all that, but, you know, it's really the clear picture of what he is that there's, you know, you got to unpack some stuff with him.
Does it make it too complicated for somebody to fall in love and jump into the top 10 to grab him? Is he still the most likely quarterback to go second in that regard?
Yeah, those are both good questions. I think the top 10 feels like a reach at this point, unless somebody just gets an itchy trigger finger and decides, you know what, I got to get ahead of New Orleans. To me, I don't, even though I mocked Sanders to New Orleans at number 9 in my over the weekend Monday morning draft, mock draft, I've heard from enough people who don't think that's going to happen to make me think it probably won't. I think if I had to guess and just throw a range out there, it's going to be somewhere around the 21st pick with Pittsburgh. They had to listen to that Aaron Rodgers interview and come away from it just like the rest of us, not knowing any more than they did coming in about his future. So that's a team to watch, obviously. Cleveland, Giants, we mentioned the Saints, all picking close to the top around 2. Could be some movement there. But you have Jackson Dart as a possibility. Some teams do have Dart. I've talked to one of them and maybe two. I was sort of reading between the lines, but sounds like Dart could be ahead of him on some boards. So I wouldn't rule that out at all. And there's enough fascination with a guy like Jalen Milroe at the end of round 1 that maybe he pops into that picture too. Could be round 2, but still, you know, there's maybe a little bit more excitement over guys like Dart and Milroe than there is for Sanders. But I think Sanders gives you the floor too. I think he's going to be, you know, ready to play if needed pretty early on, even if he's got some bad habits to clean up.
Regardless of positional value, who's your favorite player in this draft?
Oh, that's a good, I mean, Travis Hunter is an easy one. Now, he's 183 pounds. I don't know that every team, you know, the Browns are probably going to pick him, but I don't know that, you know, he's going to do this 100% corner, 100% wide receiver thing.
That's, it would be unprecedented. Lot, right? In modern football, it does not happen.
It doesn't happen with, you know, guys who weigh 220, right? So that's a little bit of a concern there. But still, this special of talent, a guy who I think is very clearly rated as the best corner and the best receiver in this draft, and we just never see anything like it. So, look, it's a fascinating story, and I think he's going to be an instant impact wherever he plays.
You mentioned 10 and 11 is an interesting range, is it, you know, where the Bears and the Niners are. Why? What's the thought process there?
Well, I'm guessing they probably like some of the same defensive linemen. I don't know that that's what ends up being the pick, right? It depends on which players are available for the Bears. But let's say Ashton Jeanty's gone. Let's say Tyler Warren is gone. And there is a scenario where those guys are both gone in the first 7 picks. I wouldn't be shocked if Jacksonville could take either one. The Jets could take either one. I would imagine Warren to the Jets is more likely, Jeanty to the Jaguars. If you get to that situation, you probably ask yourself, what do the Bears think about the offensive linemen? Armand Membu could be gone. Will Campbell could be gone. Do they love Kelvin Banks enough to take him at number 10? You know, I think 49ers are looking probably O-line, D-line as well. Probably less so at running back or tight end, but McCaffrey's coming off an injury year. You know, George Kittle's holding out. So you never know. I just think some of their needs and some of the players they like will be similar. So just something to watch there. New Orleans, you know, a lot of people had them pegged at number 9 for a quarterback the last week or two, but they also could look to go O-line or D-line. So I guess you'd include them in that little run of what's going to happen there at the end of the top 10 and into the next set of picks.
Eric Edholm joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show as we talk about the NFL draft. The Bears are in a really interesting position, E, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
I think that they have done a really great job in free agency and making trades to make their team better. I also think that their team is incomplete. So they could draft for want instead of need, but I'm curious what your assessment is of what they still need.
Yeah, and I mean, and just to add one more thought to what you're saying, I think having accomplished everything they have to this point and having 4 picks in the top 72 or whatever, I mean, that allows you a little bit of flexibility. So if there is that kind of fancy toy you see out there that maybe it isn't the biggest concern on your roster, but you just love the player and you're going to find a way to use them, I say take them. You know, I mean, that's where need and want can get separated and want ends up winning. So I mean, I would say I'd love to see another pass rusher, probably one more D lineman. If Ginty's not available, I think they probably take a back at some point. Receiver's really thin. I mean, that's a position where I'd like to see somebody who could maybe come in and vie for reps. Now, maybe they have a veteran they're kind of eyeing after the draft or something. It's certainly possible. But tackle, offensive tackle, certainly if you're thinking Braxton Jones coming off injury, going into a contract year, that would make sense, even with Amagaji, you know, as a possibility down the road. So I think those are probably the biggest ones. Corner, I've heard, or safety, possibly late, as a possibility. So they've got the picks. They've got the ammunition. You know, not every single pick has to be devoted to 2025 need. Because when you look at teams like the Ravens and the Eagles and some of the ones who had the more draft success in recent years, they're thinking 2 or 3 years down the road. They're not taking the most immediate needs in all cases. So, you know, there's a case to be made for that kind of approach.
I love the idea of Mason Graham in that regard, because you just got Grady Jarrett, and it's not like you need him to be a savior in the middle of your D-line. Why is he falling, and should the Bears pounce if he's there?
I'm glad you brought him up. Yeah, I think falling is maybe a little bit tough, because for almost months now, it feels like he's just been chalked into that number five spot at Jacksonville, mainly because it's a first-year head coach and a first-year GM, and it's just one of those years where the top 10 is a little bit of a guessing game. So I think there was some groupthink there, you know, a little bit of consensus with people who project this sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, the last couple weeks, I think that's shifted a little bit, and that reflected in my final mock. So I wouldn't say that he's falling necessarily. He doesn't have a lot of major concerns in his game. A little undersized, arms are a little short, that sort of stuff, but he's super polished. I mean, he stands out on tape as being one of the more technically sound defensive linemen, wins the leverage battle, gets good inside hand position, you know, torques blockers away from the play, takes them out of the mix. You know, it doesn't always reflect in the stat sheet. There's a lot of good stuff on his tape. You know, is he ever going to be that elite, top of the, you know, heap type of defensive tackle? Who knows? I don't know. But his floor is so high, I think it would be a outstanding option at 10. And I think if they don't take him, he could go 11. So, yeah, I would be surprised if he got out of that trio of picks, New Orleans, Chicago, San Francisco. And, yeah, I mean, I think we just had him a little higher than he should have been going before.
Let's stay with the Bears, but go off the draft for a second. You've covered the NFL for a really long time. What have people told you about Dennis Allen?
Yeah, I think everybody from agents to other people in the league and guys that I've talked to, like, a lot of people like Dennis Allen. I think they feel like he's a good football coach, and he's sort of fallen into that great coordinator, doesn't have a great record as a head coach kind of reputation. So, you know, I know he likes his defensive ends with a little bit more size. If you're thinking, you know, keep that in the back of the mind when you're watching the draft and thinking about which pass rusher might fit best for the Bears. I don't know that they'll go for a 245-pound guy. He likes guys with a little more physicality up front. You know, he's been smart with his secondaries in the past and, you know, had some linebackers like DeMario Davis in New Orleans who kind of had a career resurgence under him too. So defensively, I think he's had a lot of success in this league, seems to know that side of the ball well. And when his full attention has been paid to defense, more often than not, the results have been really good. So I think a lot of good reputation as far as his work as a coordinator.
Eric Edholm was with me when we interviewed Ice Cube in person in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance space.
Good guy to have there for an Ice Cube interview.
I needed him.
Great day to fill in.
Yeah, it was a great day to fill in. But what's your favorite fish show that you ever saw live, Eric?
Oh, man, I have two that really stand out. I would say one of them was when I was an undergrad at Mizzou. They came and played this 1,800-seat venue on campus, and it was right as all the students were leaving for Thanksgiving break. So we basically had, like, the campus to ourselves with, you know, up to our own mayhem or whatever. So That's got to be up there. And then about a year later, I saw them at Madison Square Garden for New Year's in 95. And I just, that's one of the all-time shows that they've put out there. So that one's got to be pretty high on the list.
Glad I asked. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you. We enjoyed this very much.
All right, fellas. Have a great day. Enjoy the draft.
Eric Edholm on 670 The Score.
He's terrific.
Agreed. Good learned perspective on the history of the NFL.
Speaks, do you remember what shirt you were wearing the day that you and Eric interviewed Ice Cube?
I believe, was I wearing the NASCAR boring shirt?
You sure weren't.
Oh, Jews for Bacon?
Correct.
I was wearing the Jews for Bacon t-shirt.
I thought he was wearing like a Jerry Heller shirt.
That was
might as well have been, right?
He was wearing his NWA shirt. He's like, yeah, I'm one of these guys.
But Jerry Heller was the manager who did him raw, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's too bad. Well, but you know, but bacon's good. I wasn't saying Jews for exploitation, you know?
No.
I was saying Jews for bacon, which is different.
I think that's the group that you want to get together because bacon is delicious.
Bacon is delicious. And, you know, Jews who can be honest and look at kosher laws and be like, well, you know.
That, like, I don't have that photo framed in my home just yet. But when I do, because I'm in it, you're in it, Ed Holmes in it, and he's like 6'10". And then there's Ice Cube in the middle of all of it.
I mean, why is that not framed in all of our homes? Why is that not framed in Ice Cube's home? To be honest,
he doesn't text me back anymore.
Oh,
yeah, we're at like three unanswered
we're like
now.
Giving away tickets and stuff.
Yeah, I tried that angle.
So I guess we're not getting Ice Cube.
I don't think so.
I had thoughts on Barbershop 4.
Yeah,
I bet. A lot of people do.
And the Raiders are seemingly the spot for Ashton Jeanty. You know, if he gets past the Raiders, it maybe falls to the Bears.
Yeah. If that's what you want to talk about,
man.
Also, could talk about, you know, the Bomb Squad and Chuck D and how important those guys were to him as a solo artist.
Hey, man, I wish I had you that day. But Ed Holm did a pretty good job.
No, he's musically inclined, man. He got exactly. me a beautiful Prince book from Paisley Park years ago. A great coffee table book.
That's outstanding.
He's a good man. He really is.
Yeah. You know, Lawrence, yesterday, right around this time, we were in awe of the skill set of Ben Johnson and how he had absolutely nailed something very unique that was asked of him up at Hallis Hall. But our reaction was not the reaction of somebody else on this radio station.
Oh, by the way, quick update to the Cubs lineup.
Yes, sir.
Seiya Suzuki is no longer in it.
Healthy scratch? Not a healthy scratch.
I don't think not a healthy scratch.
Unhealthy scratch?
Justin Turner is now your DH.
Hmm.
So
that's
there's that.
No! That's
oh
great.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's not great.
No, it's not great. We'll follow up, check in with Bruce, see what's going on. But yeah, that's the latest. But yes, we will also hear someone who doesn't like poetry. And it's not gonna shock you who it is. It's next on the Score.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Did it surprise you that he had a poem tonight?
It did surprise me. I didn't know Ben was a poem guy. So like TJ said, I'm looking forward to some of the, hopefully the poetry he pulls out in the team meetings. But I thought it was a perfect poem for the award and the moment.
You know what, Rome? We agree with you on that. We think the poem that Ben Johnson did for Brian Piccolo Awards was fantastic. Our friend Dustino, not a big fan.
Yeah, the honeymoon might be over in the locker room, definitely on the defensive side of the ball, and at least with this fan. I didn't think Ben Johnson had a very good day yesterday. He made the Brian Piccolo Award about him with that silly poem.
Jesus Christ.
It's not about him. It's about Brian Piccolo and what that award means and what it stands for. Thought he was out of line, and if I'm TJ, I might send my coach a text, say, didn't appreciate it.
DJ. I think that you should say that. Which one is it?
I loved it. I thought it was the most impressive thing I heard at Hallis Hall on Tuesday.
Are we sure that he wrote it? He delivered it. Delivered it pretty well.
He said
I just think between that and then the joke about the stumble bum play with TJ, I just think it combined, it became too much about he's had his victory lap. We're all still in love with him. We're going to see who he wants. He's going to be selecting, and Ryan Poles is going to stand there and comment about who's picked by the Bears, Friday and Thursday and Saturday. I just think this was the first misstep, and hopefully the only misstep, for Ben Johnson.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Mully, we feel you.
I didn't know that Dustino was in the defensive rooms.
Oh, yeah. The entire defensive room is upset because TJ Edwards didn't like it. How does he know that? Roma Dunze was there, too, so the offensive room could be theoretically upset in your made-up scenario.
The defensive guys are tough. They don't like poetry.
He did the poem because Pat McCaskey asked him to do something.
And he said that he got help with it.
Yeah, he didn't write it, and he said so. He got outside help. Oh, Dustin.
All right, let's talk Cubs, especially with the news that Seiya Suzuki is out of tonight's lineup. We're going to do that next and get you ready for the game against the Dodgers on the Score.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.